Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Shalom, saints. It's a good day. I mean, every day that we wake up should be a good day. But tell your neighbor, today is a good day. I want to thank all of you for coming out. And I want to not just thank you, but I want to thank those that are tuning in online. We're streaming live on iChurch in Spanish and in English. Hallelujah. I usually do series, and right now I'm really not on a series, but the things that we have been talking about the last couple weeks, I just can't leave it alone. It's like it keeps on messing with me. I was saying to somebody the other day, it's like shots fired, you know. I mean, the subject matter that we were talking about, when you're talking about logos, when you're talking about Yeshua being the Word, you're talking about how important the Word is, it just keeps stirring me up. I mean, is anybody like me? Do you keep on getting stirred up when you... So real quickly, let's go to Revelation, the first chapter. Here at 3CLA, we're known as the Church for Truth Seekers. What I have found in my walk, that it's not about religion, it's not about tradition, it's not about ritualistic stuff, it's about relationship. And we believe in the truth. It's not, we're non-denominational ministry. So we don't subscribe to any denomination. We subscribe to truth. We subscribe to what the Word says. And, you know, it just baffles me when you have so many people that claim to be believers, and we all have one Bible, supposed to have one Bible, but everybody has different interpretations. And you can know the difference in truth, so you might ask, well, how do I know the truth? Because the Bible tells us, not just me. Yeah, I'm Pastor Tom, but you're called to study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God, Yahweh, that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I'm a studier. I mean, it took me 10 years to get my degree. It's supposed to take 4. So it took me 10. Some people graduated magna cum laude. I graduated o laude. I was just glad to finish. But I consider myself a professional student. I mean, I love to study. You know, I did it for 10 years and I'm still doing it. But again, my degree was in biochemistry. So, I mean, you know, it was kind of challenging. You know, but I'm thankful that, you know, as a science person, thank you, Holy Spirit. As a science person, you need evidence. Stuff has to be verified. You know, you see it. It has to make sense, right? And that's my analytical way of thinking. Stuff has to make sense. It has to come together. And so I worked in the biochemistry arena for 15 years, and then traded that out to become a pastor. Because, hallelujah, because it had to make sense to me. And guess what I found out? Studying the word as a believer, it makes perfect sense to me. Perfect sense to me. And reason why, when we say study to show yourself approved, people are like, well, you know, what difference does it make whether you call him Jesus or whether you call him Yeshua? Well, the name Jesus didn't come until 1611. So my question as an analytical person would be, what were they calling them prior to 1611 if he's been here over 2,000 years ago? Well, we find that the Hebrew names and words have meaning. So if you have a word, you can translate it to the root. If you have a name, it means something, but names don't need to be translated. My name is Tom Washington all over the world. No matter what country I would go to, they would still have to call me Tom Washington. So with Yeshua, Yahweh said he's been given a name that is above what? Every name. He said there is no other name by whereby men must be what? Saved. So you're saying, well, Pastor Tom, why are you putting emphasis on the name? I am not putting the emphasis. Yahweh, God, he's the one that's putting the emphasis. So if he's putting the emphasis, it's up to me to know what the correct name is that I'm calling. And so in study, we find the original name was Yeshua. But guess what? It doesn't stop there. Yeshua actually means something. It means he will save, he will deliver, and he will rescue. And I ask this all the time. Has anybody been saved, delivered, or rescued? So it has to have meaning. It's got to make sense. So even as I study the word, the words, last week, I mean, I was full of what we talked about, because you want to know why? Check out something like this, and you tell me if it makes sense to you. In Revelation, or the Hebrew name for Revelation is Apocalypse. The first chapter, the 10th verse, are you there? And so John, or as we love to call him, his Hebrew name, Yohanan, this dude was marinated, saturated in the word, in the life of a believer. He walked with Yeshua. We talked about that. Many people, when you look at the New Testament, it says Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you think that that was the first book written of the 66. No, it was like the last one. He wrote the Gospel of John after 80-something years. He was exiled, he was brought back, he was exiled again, he was blind. And out of all of that, he began to write these writings, right? And he's not writing from a point of view about something that he didn't know about. Because remember, he walked with Yeshua as a disciple, and then at the cross, Yeshua told him, hey, that's my mama, basically. I'm paraphrasing, y'all. That's my mom. This is your mama now. I need you to take care of her. And he said, woman, behold, this is your son. So I'm going to sit on the right hand of the Father. So I want you to take care of my mom. And in obedience, what did John do? So not only did he walk with Yeshua, he walked with Miriam is her Hebrew name. He walked with her. And so she told him about, again, I said this last week, but I got to say it again. She told him about the angel Gabriel, and she told him about her experiences. So this man had a bird's eye view of what the Savior went through. Then he writes, and the things that he says are profound. I mean, all the word is profound, but if you understand the background of John, then you can listen to him and say, yeah, okay. So when we see the 10th chapter, it says, This is Johannes speaking, John. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And the voice said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in the book. So in obedience, he did that. But the thing that struck me was he said he was Alpha and Omega. Now remember, that is the Greek. Alpha is the first letter. Omega is the what? Last letter. So he didn't say that. That was translated from the Hebrew. The Hebrew says, I am Aleph, which is the first letter, and I am Tav, which is what? The last letter. So he says, I'm the beginning and the end. I am Aleph and Tav, right? But what is interesting is that if you look at Aleph and Tav, and I had a demonstration up on the board. If you look at the Hebrew alphabet, the first letter is Alpha, Aleph. The last is Tav. And that means Alpha and Omega. But the next thing I saw was that if you look at the whole alphabet, and that was the exhibit that I had, the next one, you start with the first. They will go from right to left. We got it backwards. We go from left to right. But they start at the right and they move to the left. So if he says, are you with me? If he says he is the first letter and the last letter, say it, you say it. Say he's the first letter and the last letter. So he said he is Aleph and Tav. Well, guess what? There is a middle letter, the 14th letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and it's called a mem. Everybody say mem. Mem. So then if you take the Aleph, which is the first, take the mem, which is in the middle, because guess what? If he's the first and the last, that means he's everything in between, right? He's everything. Somebody say he's everything. So then if you take the Aleph, Mem, and Tav, guess what that spells? That spells the Hebrew word emet, emet. And guess what emet means? Truth. You see that? So it's like, why, Pastor Tom, why you got to go to the Hebrew? Because it makes the Bible alive. It just jumps out at you. How is it that he says he's the first and the last, and it happens to be, if you spell that out, it happens to spell truth? I mean, you can't do that with Alpha and Omega. You can't do that with the Greek. Tell somebody, you can't do it with the Greek. You don't know what you're going to get if you try to do that. It doesn't make any sense. But in the Hebrew, it makes perfect sense. So he's telling me he is the beginning and the end. He's the Aleph and the Tav. And if you put that together, that's truth, right? So he's who he says he is. And so when we look at that, go to the 17th verse of the first chapter. And I love, he says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He didn't say he was dead. He just said, as dead. Because I was just, I was just amazed. I was just in wonderment. And he laid his right hand upon me and he said to me, Fear not. As we would translate that today, don't trip. Because we have a tendency to do that. Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am everything that you need. And the thing that I got out of that, and you need to make this personal to you, I got you. And if he's the first and the last, he's mean, I've started something in you. I've started something with you. And I'm going to be the one to finish it if you stick with me. Because I'm the beginning and the end. I'll take you from the beginning and I'll take you all the way up there. Trust me enough to stay with me. And you're not going to go through anything but truth. You're not going to go through anything but power. You're not going to go through anything but authority if you stick with me. So if you're tripping, or if you are anxiety ridden, or if you burden down, you're not connected to him. Because if you really, truly connected, really, truly have relationship, you ain't got nothing to worry about. nothing. This stuff makes, tell your neighbor, this stuff makes sense. Listen, this is not me. I'm just showing you what's there. They don't got nothing to do with me. I'm just a vessel. I'm just a mouthpiece, right? But you listen, you don't believe me? You need some more? Google it. Because it's right there. And so it says, 18th verse, I am he that liveth. And I was dead. Wait, hold up. Wait. So we're talking about truth here, but then if he's talking about he was dead, well, he's talking about the son, Yeshua. And he says, listen, I'm he that liveth. I was and was dead, but behold, I am alive. For what? Evermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell. And hey, I want to hook up with that. I want to hook up with the one that has what? The keys of what? Hell and death. And so, excuse me for raising my voice. I just get a little Savannah. When we get excited, I mean, we get loud with it. You guys, you got to excuse us. Because me and Savannah, we be having a Holy Ghost party up in here. But is anybody else in agreement with being at least being excited about this word? It's about this word, y'all. And so I love it because he says he's the author and finisher of our faith. Doesn't it just make sense? If he's the author and finisher of our faith, he's the truth. And what we found out in the other, go to John, the first chapter. And I'm going to use these few minutes I got to do what I can do in that amount of time. If you just hang with me just for a few minutes. All right? So let's go to John or Yohanan, the first chapter. And this is, listen, say it's about relationship. Okay, it's about relationship. It's not good enough just being saved. You had to have relationship. It's not good enough just coming to church. You got to have relationship. Because listen, truth be told, you only spend it maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours here, right? If you do come during the week, that's another 2 hours. So that's 4 hours tops a week that you're allowing this saturation of the word to take place. Well, the rest of that time, you on you. Right? You got to deal with you for the rest of those hours. And guess what I found? Dealing with you is not easy. How do I know this? Because me dealing with me ain't easy. So it takes more than just 4 hours. Y'all got to get up in this word when you're away from here. You got to let that thing saturate you when you're not here. Because, you know, we got issues. Is there anybody in here that don't have issues? Because if you raise your hand, I see a little kid raising his hand. Well, you're right. Man, if I could turn back the clock, I didn't know how good I had it when I was 5 years old. Man, didn't have to worry about nothing. So you got to use that time to allow the word to penetrate. And so this is what I found out, and this is key. John, first chapter, first verse. Now, who wrote this? John. So the same disciple that had gone through all that stuff, and this was the last book that he wrote, and after everything that he went through, out of being put in prison and cast aside and exiled and blinded, he says this: in the beginning was the Word. After everything I've been through, I want y'all to know that I found to be one of the most important things. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. And why are you saying Yahweh? I feel led to just explain that. God's name, when we research it in the Hebrew, is the letters Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh. That's the name. So we go around calling a lot of people God, and we use that term very neutrally. But the true and living God actually has a name. And his name is Yahweh. And so I tend to use the what we call the tetragrammaton, which is the Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh. Now, what we do is we pronounce it Yahweh, but that they didn't use the put the vowels in. They just used the consonant sounds. And his name actually has a meaning. So when you tell me, what don't matter what his name is, I can call him God, but there are a lot of gods, but there's only one true and living God that actually has a name. And because his name means something, his name means something. And what we found in study, if you look at the meaning of Yahweh, it means Eye Asher Eye, which is Hebrew. And that means, check this out. He's saying, I will be whatever I will be. I will be however, wherever, whoever, I will be what I will be. So when you look at God being able to do that, that means there is nothing that he can't do. He can be whatever, whoever, and whatever. That is what his name means. That's why he can be omnipotent. That is why he can be omniscient. What does that mean? Everywhere at the same time. Why? Because he is Yod-Heh Vav-Heh. He is Eyeh Eshir Eyeh. He will be what he will be, where he will be, how he will be, when he will be. That's God. Created the universe. So man, wait, thank you, brother. He said, no limits. You serve a God that has what? No limits. He is whatever. So the beauty is that whatever each and every one of you need in here, guess what? He's the God that can provide whatever you need. Wherever, however, that's who he is. So to answer your question, that's why we call him Yahweh. Is that okay with you? All right. All right. So then he says he is the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. So he is the Word, right? And even Yeshua, he's all there. Yeshua, he is the living Word. Because then it tells us that the Word came down and was made flesh and dwelt among us. So say Yeshua is the living Word. Right? And because he is the living Word, he is the truth. He is the Alpha, Aleph. He is the Tav. He is the truth. He is the everything. And so that means that you have to have a relationship with the Savior, right? Well, let's extrapolate that. If the Savior is the Word, he's the living Word, that means you need to have a relationship with the Word. Anybody want to be successful? You got to have a relationship with the Word. And one of the things about the Greek is that because there's a word in the Greek that is used, logos, that is the inspired word, right? And so when we look at logos, that's the total inspired word. Well, the difference between logos and the other Greek word, rhema, say rhema. Rhema is different than that. Rhema is the manifested word, the spoken word, made alive. So what's the difference between the two? Well, logos is the word. Rhema is the word applied. Follow me? Some people don't get it. Logos is the word, the idea, the blueprint. And then rhema is when you do the word and you actually apply it to your life. So we all should want rhema. For example, Minister Daniel, can you bring me that exhibit, please? Thank you. Does anybody know what this is? It's deodorant. Now, I would imagine that this is something essential to each and every one of you. To those of you where deodorant is not essential, I don't want to be next to you. Now, I love this brand because it's 48 hours. It works pretty good because I'm a sweater. And it's unscented because, you know, if you want to wear your own fragrance, anybody find that, you know, if your deodorant is too smelly, it contradicts your perfume or cologne. Some of y'all need to know that. You got clashing chemistries going on. Okay, I just need you to know that. That sometimes it's good. If you're going to wear Brave Bull, brothers and sisters, if you're going to wear Chantilly, it's good to have an unscented deodorant so they don't clash. Who knew that? That's why some of y'all run around thinking that you're smelling good and you got a whole lot going on. But anyway, this is the word. Now, it's no good for me just to have this deodorant and just have it. It won't be effective unless I apply it. Hello? So you can walk around with unapplied deodorant and say, I got the word, I got the word, I got the word. But if you are not applying the word, you stink. So you can have as much logos as you want to, but unless you receive it, apply it, and let it become rhema, you ain't got nothing. That's why we got a lot of stank Christians running around who don't apply the word. So tell your neighbor, you got to apply it. Thank you, brother. And I love it when we need the unadulterated word. That's why I like the unscented, because he tells us don't add nothing to the word and don't take nothing away. That's why I want the truth. That's why I'm here. And that's why I'm so thankful to Yahweh for giving me not only a natural father, but a father in the faith, Apostle Will T. Washington, my dad, who has been preaching the unadulterated word for over 50 some years. Hallelujah. I'm just a product of him. He had the blueprint, right? So that's what I want. I want the manifested word. I want the manifested word. And you got to say yourself, I want the manifested word in my life. And the manifested word, the rhema, does not happen unless you apply it. Because listen, y'all think that you know everything in this world. You know how to navigate your life. You know how to navigate your job. You know how to navigate your family all by yourself. That's a lie. You cannot do it all by yourself. You do not know everything. You cannot comprehend. That is why we need some help. We need a blueprint. We need the word in our lives. We can apply the word to our lives. We can apply the word to our job. We can apply the word to our families, our relationships, to world situations. There is nothing that the word cannot answer to and tell you how to do. Nothing. So let's go a couple more scriptures. First Samuel. And the Hebrew name for Samuel is Shmuel. We can learn something from Shmuel. Really, his mother is Hannah. And Samuel, or Shmuel, mom, he is actually a product of diligence and dedication, because she couldn't have children. And she just kept on praying to Yahweh that he would give her a child. And so he is the product of that. And so she said, listen, if you give me a child, I'm going to give them back to you. That's why it is so appropriate that we're talking about this and we just dedicated a child. You know, yes, because it's, hey, if you give me a child, I what? So she gave him back and she let him sit in the temple with the high priest Eli. And so it says in the third chapter of 1 Samuel, the first verse. Are you with me? If you got it, say, I got it. And it says, and the child Shmuel, or Samuel, ministered unto Yahweh before Eli. So that means he ministered, spoke, released the word. And it says, and the word of Yahweh was precious in those days. Why was it precious in those days? Because during that time, God actually spoke audibly. I mean, you could hear him, but people start still, after they heard him, just doing their own thing, ignoring what he said, or trying to make a profit out of stuff. And so even the sons of Eli, they were all over the place. They had completely kind of left the gospel. They were all over the place. They were con artists. And here you have a dedicated servant that still wants to hear the voice of Yahweh. He still wants to be used. And so that's what he was. He was used because he submitted himself. And it says he ministered unto Yahweh before Eli, and the word of Yahweh was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And if you skip down to the 19th verse, I love this. And because he surrendered to the word, because he submitted to the word, it says Shmuel grew. You can't grow unless you apply the word. You can grow naturally, but you cannot grow spiritually unless you apply the word. That's why 5, 10 year, 15, 20 year old supposed to be veterans in the word. I got baptized 30 years ago. Well, why don't I see 30 years of progress in your life? Because you did not what? Apply it. But because Samuel applied it spiritually, he what? And who was with him? Somebody say relationship. But this is the thing that gets me. He had a relationship with the word. And it says, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. See, that's what happens to us. We do our own thing. We're using our words, right? Well, our words, what? They fall to the ground. But guess what? The word, Yahweh's words, they can't fall to the ground. They have to do what he sent them out to do, right? So what does that tell us? If we have a relationship of the word, we got to start using his word and not our words. See, our words can fall to the ground, but does somebody want their words to soar? Do they want their words to actually accomplish something and do something in faith? Well, if that's the case, you need to speak his word. That's why he says, let the weak what? Anybody weak? Say, you strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich. I hate to say this, but is anybody poor? Don't say, I am poor. Say, I am what? And it's not about all that. Listen, y'all, it's not about material stuff. So don't get it twisted. You know, we don't do that prosperity gospel stuff, talking about, oh yeah, you know, you, Rolls Royce, your choice. No, there's so many things that are so much more important. Does anybody need peace of mind, a sound mind? People out there losing their mind, right? Does anybody need peace? You know, because there's anxiety, there's depression, there's all kinds of mess going on. But hey, he said he's the God of peace. Shalom, right? Yahweh Shalom. And so that is what we should be pursuing. And so tell yourself, this is a daily thing. This is a daily thing. And the last thing I'm going to leave you with is going to be this. I'm scrolling too much. Romans, the 12th chapter. What we've got to do is, if you want to have a relationship with the Word, you want to be able to, speak the things of Yahweh over your life. One of the things that messes up, you can confess the Word, but one of the things that messes up our confession of the Word is our attitude. Does anybody know what sarcasm is? Sarcasm is when you take something that's true, but in the crazy way that you say it, don't mean nothing. For instance, I can say, you look good in that dress. Do you believe me? But if I say, oh, you look good in that dress, it's amazing. But I made the same statement. But what's the difference? And the attitude in which I said it. And so some of you are, say you speak in the Word, but your attitude's bad. You're not saying it like you mean it. You're not saying it like you believe it. Well, there is a mechanism called the mind. And what happens is that when you think something and before you say it, you should process it. And too many people are skipping the processing part and going straight from the thought to the mouth. That's why I gotta be careful what I say. One of the things that I liked about the previous president was that it took a while for him to say stuff. But now I understand why. Because he was saying, and what was happening in moments? Processing. Now, if I say something wrong, then it's gonna be bad. So I better make sure I'm saying the right thing before I let it out. And I need to say it in the right way. So if I got my feelings all in there, I need to get them out. See, a lot of y'all go straight from the thought and you put your feelings all in there and you say some crazy stuff. You said some crazy stuff last night. You said some crazy stuff today, right? But I'm telling you, you don't have to talk crazy. You don't have to think crazy. That's why the Word tells us this. Romans 12:1. Somebody say the middle mechanism. Thought, think, say. Say it. Thought, think, say. It's not thought, say. Right? And the reason why our mouth say crazy stuff is that we're not doing something with the mind. So we need a mind adjustment. We need to make sure that we're thinking things out properly. That we're, processing it. That's why it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, and divine, which is your what? And then the second verse says what? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed. How can we be transformed, Yahweh? By the renewing of your mind. There ain't nobody in here that doesn't need the mind renewed. So if you want to speak from a place of power, You got to watch your thoughts. Because you show me somebody with some jacked up thinking, I'm going to see somebody with some jacked up stuff that they say. But guess what? We got believers sitting up in here. We don't talk jacked up. What do we allow? We allow what? Say the renewing. Tell your neighbor we need the renewing. And what happens when you allow that renewing to take place? Guess what comes out of your mouth? Power comes out of your mouth. Authority comes out of your mouth. Words of healing come out of your mouth. Words of deliverance come out of your mouth. It's a relationship with the Word, and I'm out of time. Bow your heads. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for opportunity. Because we find that kairos, which is an opportunity in time, chronos is time unfolding. Kairos is an opportunity within that time to make a decision. And when we have those kairos moments where we need to make a decision, we have the Word to rely on. And that opportunity allows that Word, that logos, to become rhema in our life. So we thank you for the kairos moments that you give us. Those opportunities where we can draw from your Word. We can choose to and that we can overcome. We can be triumphant. We can be victorious. So Father, help us acknowledge your Word in a way that becomes natural, that becomes part of us, becomes our lifestyle, Father. So we thank you for the Word. We thank you for what the Word does. We thank you for how it speaks to every aspect of our life. We give you glory for that in Yeshua's name. We pray, Amen. If I ask that you bow your heads, please. I cannot allow this kairos moment to pass without allowing those who want relationship to have an opportunity to say that. We all live our life. We all make decisions. We all have issues and things that we're confronted with on a daily basis. But our desire is that we make the right decision. We need direction for our life. We need relationship with the Savior. And this is a moment where if you don't have a relationship with the Savior, you can have it. So right now, I would be remiss if I didn't take this chance to say, if that's you, if you're saying, I want more, I want a victorious life, we can pray for you today. And all you have to do is raise your hand. Say, I want relationship with the Savior. I've lived all kinds of ways, every way, but I know I need direction. I know I need relationship. And so you're saying, I want that? Just raise your hand and we'll pray for you. We can pray for you for relationship. Hallelujah. Second, maybe if you had relationship, but you drifted away. You're not where you used to be. And he's saying, I can provide restoration. That's what the Father is saying. I can restore you back. And you're saying, I want restoration. I've had a relationship. I've been baptized, but I drifted away. And I want to be back where I need to be. If that's you, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you for restoration, that he will restore you. You don't have to worry about anybody looking. We got our heads bowed. Hallelujah. Restoration. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the ability for us to have relationship, for the ability for us to have restoration. So we thank you and praise you that whatever opportunity presents itself again for those two things, that they'll step right into it, Father. And we thank you and praise you for grace and mercy. In Yeshua's name, Amen. And Amen. Let's give Him praise today. Hallelujah. Really quickly, I want to...